Hey, I sure appreciate everybody listening to BPN today. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for being a part of Preaching Sunday. And now I'm extremely excited to introduce Pastor Bob Nichols from Fort Worth, Texas. Here's Pastor Bob Nichols.
And the great Apostle Paul said, "Pray for me." I heard a minister popping off one time. He said, "Bless God, I don't need anybody to, you know." You have to watch those bless Gods when you're feeling extra good. Someone said, "Be nice to people on your way up. You may need them on the way down." But in all seriousness, we live in a world more and more and more than any time in my life experience. And I've been a pastor 54 years now, and actually in full-time ministry 64 years. That doesn't seem possible, but I say that and give all the glory to God. It's because of power of prayer, the power of prayer. And of course, the Word. All spirit, and you blow up, you know, and then just come back. And I've seen some people that were so dry in the Word of God. I've seen people that could memorize books of the Bible, but they were very lacking in power in their own life. You got to use what you know. Use it or lose it. Amen. I want to minister tonight for a while on no limits prayer. No limits power prayer. You know the scriptures that I'll be sharing with you. But Luke chapter 18 said, "Men ought always to pray." Now write the scriptures down, and that's one reason we have on our bulletin a place where you can take notes. I really value that part of our bulletin. But Jesus said, just write it down, Luke 18, "Men ought to pray." You've heard me say it many times. He knew the women would, but he knew the men should. And that's not always true, but a little something we say with it. In Mark 11, 22 through 24, the Word of God said, "Have faith in God." And it talks to us about speaking to things and praying in faith, believing. I mean, the Bible is full of faith assurances that when Bible prayer goes up, God comes down. That when we pray according to the Word of God. In fact, he said over in John, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In John 15, chapter 15, verse 16, "You have not chosen me," I love this verse, "but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Amen. Praise God. Amen. Fruit. The only way I know to judge, we're not in judging heaven or hell, but the only way I know to judge a situation is by its fruit. What does a situation or a person or, you know, people have a lot of big claims and people tell me a lot of things, but I'm kind of an old owl on a limb. I'm watching for fruit. I don't want to hear what's just said today. I want to see where it's going to be next week, next month. And that doesn't mean that I don't care and that I don't love, but I mean, I don't know of any other way to measure what's going on than by the fruit of their lives. you know, some people, the fruit of their life always produces confusion and division and strife and, you know, that type of thing. And yet I know people that over the years have been peacemakers. And we used to have a staff member that had it on the desk, his desk, "Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll always have a job." You know, that's true at IBM. That's true anywhere you go. The same principles, some of the same principles that put you over in the kingdom of God put you over, of course, in the business world. The Word of God said in Jeremiah 33:3, I call that God's phone number. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Now, I could just, tonight, if I had the time, I could just keep on going. The Word of God said that men ought always to pray. I said that a while ago, but let me finish that verse in Luke 18, and not to faint. You know why some people faint all the time or sometime or any time? We don't pray. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, that's not a legalistic statement, but it is a good measuring stick. Amen. I think every believer who has any maturity whatsoever, you ought to give God the first hour of your day and see what God will do for you. That's not a heaven or hell scripture. It's just making more heaven happen in your life. So as you look in the Word of God, Ephesians 6:18, it said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. Praying always. You say, well, do you pray all the time? Well, let's put it this way. There's not much time that I'm not praying. It means that there's a green light in my spirit that, I mean, I'm on prayer channel instantly. Amen. I wake up in the morning praising God. Wake up in the morning and say, I love you, Jesus. Amen. I'm coming to spend time with you. And I, over the last 2 or 3 years, have been spending more time than I've ever spent in my life early in my morning with the Lord. And let me tell you, it makes a difference in your day. It makes a difference in your day. There's all kind of scriptures that we could give you. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, the disciples, you know, the famous Lord's Prayer. The disciples came to Jesus, and they were so impressed. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And I challenge you, it doesn't take that long to read it or to quote it. The Lord's Prayer in the beginning of your day, and see if it will not make a difference. Our Father, who art in heaven. That means you're a child of His. You know who your Father is. To me, that screams born again. Our Father who art in heaven, holy. And in the mornings, I say it like this. Holy, holy, holy is the name of my Father God. Holy, holy, holy is the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. You know, in a world that's so filled with craziness, isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God that can't be bribed? A God that has never told, if God told a lie, he'd self-destruct. Amen. A God who is fair, a God who is impartial, a God who'll give you a straight shot every time. He cannot be jaded. He cannot be influenced. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, holy, holy be your name. Oh, the power of the name. My life was spared from an automobile accident that Satan thought would take me out. I'll never forget that night. I didn't have time to pray. All I had time was to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 3 times. I can still hear. I can still hear it in my heart, my spirit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I mean, at 97 miles an hour, when a car's out of control, things are things are going crazy. And that car not only rolled, it gyrated, it just went crazy. Came on a curve, and to this night, I can still hear the gravel pinging on the fender. And waking up, I was trying to get back to Fort Worth for a summer job. And I wasn't trying to drive to be smart, wasn't trying to race anyone. I was just tired and weary and trying to get home to get a couple of hours rest before we went back to load those 18-wheelers in our summer high school job. God spared my life. It was that night when I crawled out of that piece of wreckage, that yellow Mercury automobile, when they put real metal into cars. And I said, God, from this night forward, I'll serve you until the day I die. Amen. You've got me, Lord. Amen. So, hallowed be thy name, the name. Thy kingdom come. Boy, that's a mouthful. Thy kingdom. Not my kingdom. This church is not my kingdom. It's his kingdom. Amen. All that God has done, thank God, and to God be the glory. It's his kingdom. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I'm not afraid to pray that prayer about anything. There's times I don't want to pray that prayer about some things. But, I mean, you follow what I'm saying. If you're afraid to pray that prayer, you better go back and re-examine what's going on. I'm not afraid of the will of God. I'm not afraid of his kingdom. And then it said, lead us not into temptation. And I pray it like this, Lord, don't let me be self-led or others led into temptation. Sometimes we just put our stinking self into a mess. Don't let me be self-led. Don't let me be others led. Lead me not into temptation. But emphatically he said, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. In my lifetime, I've never seen as much evil. And I've never seen as much God, because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. This world's in a mess, but I'll tell you what, Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. And then it said, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. And I like to pray it like this. Lord, forgive those who have sinned or those that I thought sinned against me. You know, there's times that I lived long enough to find out they really didn't they really didn't do what I thought they did. You know, really didn't say what I thought they said or what someone else said. You know, you can get involved. The spirit of offense, I'll tell you what's just as bad as the spirit of offense, when you pick up somebody else's offense. I just said a mouthful right there. You heard that, and I'm still mad at that person because they hurt my friend, or they came against my friend. And what I don't know is they've already made up and they're going down the road holding hands. And I'm sitting in the corner still mad at them. I am telling the truth. Amen. So, Lord, forgive me of my own missing it. Now, you say, well, aren't you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But unconfessed and unforgiven sin, it stops up the pipe of the greater flow of the blessings of God. Amen. That's why you take garbage out of your house instead of keeping it in your house. There's only one way to go with garbage. Get it out. Get it out. Sometimes, Jordan, when she said, Bob, it's just half it. I said, I don't like it. I guess get it out of here, you know. And she's a very clean person. But all right, so forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those that trespass against us. Oh, God, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you know what we really need today. I think I know, but God does know. Amen. I didn't intend to get on this. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about no limits prayer power. And there are four stages of prayer. This is kind of a Bible college night. Let's just, I believe we're saying things that'll help you. You know, there's four stages of intense prayer. I just happened to read an excerpt from a book that Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, a man that God has used in our life in just such a supernatural way. He's been with Jesus now for several years. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin has been a great, great man of God. But he said, instruments are the tools that are used to get the job done. Instruments are the tools that are used to get the job done. We can't do the job of the kingdom of God without prayer. Amen. This is not a head trip. This is not, how much you know or how you... But prayer. Prayer. You go all the way through the Bible. And there was such emphasis on prayer. Another thing that he said in this... some excerpts from one of his books. In every great move of God, the church, the prayers, the intercessors, and travailers.
You know, when I think back.
But I thoroughly agree, because you have to fight for time to spend with God. You know, over in Galatians 4:19, Paul said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." And that's where the church is by and large today. You're saved, you're born again when you accept Jesus as Savior. But there's a process of Christ being formed in you until you start thinking like Christ, acting like Christ, talking like Christ. When the world squeezes you, that Jesus comes out instead of carnality or rage or road rage or whatever. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone situation, but he said, I'm travailing. I am travailing. And I wish to, I'll catch it later on. This comes out of one of our series of prayer that has been gone around the world. First of all, we pray in, I say we pray in English. That's the language that you speak. If I was in Mexico, I'd say you pray in Spanish. Or if I was in Germany, I'd say you pray in German. You know, whatever is your native tongue or whatever language you like to flow in. But you pray in faith in English for us here. You pray in faith in English. Now, prayer is not loud prayer. It's not quiet prayer. It's almost an insult to have a moment of prayer when nothing happens. You can't get nothing done in a moment except say Jesus. And the world, we've even lost the moment of prayer now. We just have a silent thought, but just move on quickly before you get serious about it, you know. So in prayer, we pray in faith. And here's the thing. The Bible gives us ample instruction on how to pray in faith. It's only the prayer of faith that makes a difference. It's only the prayer of faith that makes a difference. Much words, little words, loud words, shouting words. Say anything you want to say about how people use words. It's the prayer of faith that makes the difference. And I use this illustration because I heard it growing up. Well, let's have Brother So-and-so pray. He prays such a beautiful prayer, but yeah, but he ain't saying nothing. Now, let me qualify that. He's a good man. He loves God. He's born again. But, I mean, it's just a flow of words. kind of like Abraham Lincoln used to say. He said, the kind of preaching I like is when a preacher acts like he's fighting bees. I want to see a man get with it, And you remember, I'm jumping ahead here, but Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed until he sweat great drops of blood. We'll talk about that maybe in a few moments, but pray in faith. Anytime you pray, always mix faith with it. Amen. Don't waste your time in God. Well, it's never a waste. It's better to do that than something crazy or whatever. But I mean, if you want a prayer that gets the job done, pray in faith. Pray in faith. Amen. Praise God. Don't just pray to impress people. Don't just pray to people and say, oh, he can pray a great prayer. But pray in faith, believing. Number two, and this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Now, we're kind of in a season around our house. our house is interesting right now. And I thank God. No, I thank God for it. But I'm limited in praying with volume as I have in days gone by. I've had to learn to pray a little quieter. I've had to learn to pray in the Spirit a little quieter. Do you understand what I'm saying? And no matter where you are, where you work, or where you travel, whatever, you can quietly pray in the Spirit and hook your spirit up to that and reach out to God. But you see, when I pray in tongues, when I pray in English, I know what I'm praying or I hear what I'm praying. But when I pray in tongues, that's getting a little far out from shore there, because I'm praying according to the will of God. He said, well, you folks, why do you speak in tongues? I don't understand that. Well, you're not supposed to. That's none of your business. And there is a tongue to interpret. There is a tongue to interpret. And I love, revere, and I believe we're going to see more of the gifts of the Spirit. But as a child growing up, I saw terrible abuse of so-called tongues and interpretation of tongues. It almost got to, you get a survey, you got 12 messages in tongues, and they all said the same thing. When the Holy Ghost speaks, there's a chill that runs down your spine, and you know there's been lightning from heaven that's happened in a service. And there's another aspect of it that I've learned, and I believe this with all of my heart. It's amazing how anointed Holy Spirit, New Testament, Book of Acts preaching contains prophetic preaching. I mean, the same thing as interpretation of tongues. And I have seen men under... we'll go ahead and finish that one. I got to finish it. But I have seen a message of strong anointing and importance interrupted by someone who had absolutely ill-timed nothing to say. I've seen that. Amen. And so there's an appropriate time in every service for the Spirit of God to speak. Amen. Praise God. And when a person is anointed, heavily anointed of God, that's like a river. My Lord, let the river flow, let the rain fall, let the Spirit of God move. Well, I can't bog down here. I'm just giving you some surface things to think about. So we pray in English. You should do that. We do that all the time, or sometimes, often. We pray in tongues, and that's important. That's so important. Praise God, it's so important. And sometimes over on Northside, there was a church over there that when I was a young man, things were so safe. My parents would let me ride the bus all the way across from Southside to Northside to the Stockyards area. I'd ride the College Avenue bus to Northside, I believe it was Northside, whatever the bus was that went there, and get off the bus and walk two blocks past some of that saloon stuff that's around there, and things were so calm, I could go to church and walk back two blocks, get on a bus, and come home safe. Times have changed. But there was a hunger in my heart. They had a service on a certain night, and so I'd take the bus over. And I'll never forget the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The slab is still there. The church is gone, but the slab is still there. And sometimes I like to bring some of my friends in, and we just drive up on that slab and have a few moments of revival, praise God. But the slab is still there. And I remember, you know, we used to think we had to tear 14 hours or whatever. And I wore out just about everybody around the altar, and finally everybody was gone but the janitor, and he kept some of the lights on. And all of a sudden, there were just about three words that sounded so nothing. And I hadn't had the type of teaching that we offer today, and many of you have heard it over and over again. And what I didn't realize, it was the Holy Spirit saying, speak these words, you know. And I was waiting for it to come my way, you know. And finally, I just spoke those words, and it was amazing. Of course, that was the beginning of my walk with the Holy Spirit as a young man. Praise the Lord. Thank God for other tongues. Amen. Thank God for other tongues. Now, thirdly, in prayer. Well, we're just going to follow the Lord here tonight. Is groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings that cannot be uttered. Let me just ask you just a blank question tonight. Have you ever prayed past English, past tongues, until there was just groanings that could not be uttered? When I was associate minister, there were two or three times that things happened in the church and people came through, and I remember one novice evangelist that came through, the way you can always spot a novice, they want to draw everything to themselves. And God gave a great move of the Spirit, but then he came to me and he said, I'm going to split this church wide open and I'm going to make you the associate pastor. And I looked at him, I said, you don't know who you're talking to. I said, I don't know a lot about the ministry because I'm just starting. But this is my father-in-law's church and I serve God. And I'm not going to be a party of division or strife with anybody. And he left me alone after that. But, you know, after he left, then he started drawing people out of the church and drawing
people. The People First warranty from Volkswagen is
America. The church was really in trouble there with strife and division. And I'll never forget my father-in-law, who was a powerful man of God, powerful preacher. He said, son, he said, this is one of the strongest things I have. And he was a strong man. He said, I'm gonna have to get out of town for a week or two. And you're in charge. So I had the radio and I had three services, you know, during the week. And then had all these crazy ideas that some people had, you know. And man, I'll never forget the night I went to that church, locked all the doors behind me. Had a prayer towel, had a legal pad, had my Bible, and I said, I'm staying here until I strike fire, praise God. And I prayed until my English ran out, until my tongues ran out, and until I groaned, had groanings that could not be uttered. I said, God, this is your church, these are your people, this what's going on is not right. You're not the God of discord. Amen. And it finally just got down to groanings that cannot be uttered as we wept before God. And when the sun came up after a night of prayer, God said, it's going to be all right, son. It's going to be all right. See, we need that kind of praying in our churches to keep things going in the right direction. We need that kind. You say, man, you're talking about fanaticism. Yeah, I'm looking for some fanatics right now. Amen. But there were several times when things came up that I just had to learn that you can spend time in the presence of God and you can stop Satan in his tracks, because God gave us power over all the power of the enemy. And then, of course, to me, stage four is just tears of brokenness and weeping. You know, there, Dr. John R. Rice, a very uncommon Baptist who obviously had received the Holy Spirit, but he said there are prayers that break the backs of words. And I say yes and amen to that. There are prayers that literally break the backs of words. Amen and amen. So anyway, I hope that gives you a little more insight and whatever. But let's come back to this. In every great move of God, the church, the prayers, the intercessors and travailers gave birth to it. In every great move of God, somebody paid the price. Dr. Charles Finney, who was that powerful revivalist of days gone by, and you know, we have the pulpit of Jonathan Edwards in our auditorium that man of God preached over up in New England, a very sacred, special piece of furniture. Amen. But Dr. Finney had a man, and his name was Father Nash. He never had a big church. In fact, he finally said, you know, I love people, but that's not what I'm called to do. He said, I just can't get many people together. But he said, God's called me to intercede for Dr. Charles Finney. And 6 months before Dr. Charles Finney would go into a city, this Father Nash would go in and rent a room. In fact, often, sometimes they'd call the police. They said, that man's going crazy. They'd hear groanings that could not be uttered. They would hear the man in prayer. They would... And the man literally would go in, and then others would, pray. Some would pray with him, and it was really amazing. But in every one of Finney's revivals, the trail was always there of Father Nash, who paid the price in prayer. Amen. Who paid? You say, well, why don't we see more of that? We're too busy. We're too busy. Too busy. I mean, God wants us to be responsible people, but you know. The greatest fight that I have is quiet time alone with God. That's one of the greatest fights that I have, because there's so much going on in my life, and you know, we have health challenges at home, and we have a busy place here. We really do. But you know what's out in my heart tonight is I'm just throwing out a challenge this evening for some people in this room to say, I'll take the challenge. I'll be an... Dr. Hagin said this. He said, the church knows precious little about real intercessory prayer. It's almost like a buzzword. And then there's something else. You know, I mean, there's churches that hire intercessors. It's amazing how much trouble comes from hired intercessors, because they're hired guns. God wants some people in a house that love that house and are committed to that house, who will pay the price. Amen. And we're sitting on a gold mine. I know we're in the chapel tonight, but this is 17 and a half acres of a gold mine that God Almighty has provided after a storm blew everything or destroyed everything in our downtown properties. But we're not going to see the greater things of God until we're willing to pay the price. Amen. There's got to be X number of people that are willing to pay the price. Praise God. And God's calling for that. Very few people really know what it is to travail in prayer. See what Paul was saying. You're born again, but I'm praying for you to grow up and mature. Amen. I'm praying for you to grow up and mature. It's one thing to be born again. Now, and listen to me very carefully. You can't find a man who believes in the word of faith any stronger than I do. And I really believe this with all my heart, especially the last 3 years, because I've reexamined my position on it, and I know where I'm coming from. You can't find a preacher that believes in grace any more than I do. We deal in grace around this house all the time. I mean, there are people that lightning would have struck them if grace had not come from this house and touched their lives. Amen. So this is a house of mercy. It's a house of grace. It's a house of faith. Amen. We're not just a bunch of people sitting around here hollering at one another and screaming and hollering. I mean, you know, some gospel music, it's just not much to it. Just not much to it. And there's some preaching that's just not much to it. Just a lot of hollering, and then others are so quiet they'll put you to sleep. But what we need is red-hot, anointed, ministry of the Word of God, whether it be preaching or teaching, hallelujah, people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and hunger for God. With all that said, I just felt led of God. I can't go much further, but I am going to go some further here. Just some things that I wrote down this morning. We've got to pray for this nation. One of our staff told me coming in, he said, I heard some of the hearings today of this man that's up for the, you know, for the Kavanaugh. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what? I never thought I'd see the day that the great divider in this nation would be killing babies. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's how do you believe? How do you believe? How do you believe? And our leader he's not perfect. He's made his share of mistakes. But he's also a friend of the gospel, and he's also a man that has made righteous decisions in Israel and made a righteous decision on the Supreme Court and about one or two more on the Supreme Court. You know why this world system is going crazy? It's a spirit of Antichrist. It's like you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, and the dog that the rock hits, he's the one barking. He's the one barking. And I'm not trying to be funny or cute. I'm just telling you, there's got to be some churches that bite the bullet in prayer. There's got to be some churches that bite the bullet in prayer. We've got to pray for our nation. And all this screaming and hollering, it's not civil. It's ungodly. It's barbaric. It's not courteous. Would you want this whole nation to be run like that? Would you want this whole nation? You can't go into a restaurant if someone doesn't like you, and I go in to sit down and have a nice steak or something, and all of a sudden there's a crowd of 15 or 20 people giving me hell on earth. Would you like a nation like that? We're started in that direction. We're started in that. They just don't know what you believe. There are people, if they knew what you believe, you'd have neighbors knocking on your window. You'd have neighbors ringing your doorbell. You'd have neighbors. That's the world in which we live. And what I want us to do tonight is this: the will of God be done. But the last man that was appointed to the Supreme Court, in fact, this man also, now follow me closely, he has already said, and he's eminently well qualified. He's a student of law, and from all I can tell has an impeccable record. But he's already said abortion is the law of the land. You say, oh my God, wait a minute. They're not there to change it until somebody brings it to the court to change it. So that comes back to the folks you vote for who believe in that kind of thing or don't believe in it. That means we start voting for the right people and not vote according to emotions, and we go crazy about personalities and so on. And right now in the state of Texas, there's a tremendous race going on, and what it's all about is righteousness versus unrighteousness. It's the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of the Lord, the truth of God's word versus the craziness of Satan. You go back to the Old Testament. Remember when they were killing babies in the day of Moses? But that just lasted for a certain period of time. Come to the day of the birth of Christ, the problem was they were killing babies. That's why Mary and Joseph, you know, they were protected of God and had to be wise. But in the day in which we live, we're over 60 million babies who never, the most dangerous place for a baby to be today is in the womb. And I'm an animal lover. I grew up with collie dogs. I don't know why, but we went through three collie dogs in my lifetime of growing up. We had collie dogs. But you see these bleeding hearts in the paper concerned about dogs that are being abused when a baby is not abused. He never got out. But he was alive in the womb, but he never got out. He never got a chance. You say, well, you had a good anointing. Well, no, I'm still there. No, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm not foolish tonight. I'm serious as a federal judge ought to be tonight. We've got to pray and believe God and keep the emphasis, the main thing, where the main thing needs to be. Amen. Praise be unto God. So tonight we're going to pray about three or four things, and we're going to remember no limits prayer. No limits prayer. I want us to pray that somehow God's going to throttle the craziness of the opposition. Remember, you know what the yay is all about? The yay is all about abortion. And there's no condemnation in this church for anyone that's had an abortion. No condemnation. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm simply saying what's right is right. Amen. And you go back through civilizations that rose and fell, and it all comes back to sacrificing babies, except they let them be born and then put them on the altar with a fire under the altar. Check your church history. Check your real history. So you say, well, more. It is important. And you know why there's so much screaming and shouting? Because ungodliness has had its way so long, and the brakes are being put on. And we're calling a spade, and the real church is finally standing up and voting right. Hallelujah. Pam, I want you to come. We're going to pray. We're going to pray about this Supreme Court. We're going to call down this circus thing that's going on, and we're going to say that righteousness prevails. Pray. Join your faith with me.
Shikara manda kara makari adia shikara dogoro goro goro makarende kari adia shikade. God, you've given us authority by the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And we just take authority over this right now in Jesus' name. We just say, turn it, God, turn it in the name of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our political system in Jesus' name. God, you are for life. You are for life. We just declare that Zoe life to come forth in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind selfishness in the name of Jesus. It's a root of selfishness, and I bind it in Jesus' name. It's not about them. It's about people. It's about others. It's about babies. It's about life. And God, that's what you stand for. So right now, we just agree with that in Jesus' name to turn around. Lord, open their eyes to see the truth. Remove the blinders in Jesus' name. We just declare every lie to be shut down in the name of Jesus. We just declare the lies to be starved and the truth to be declared in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you shut the mouths of the lies and you reveal truth in every situation, truth on every hand, truth in Jesus' name. God, we know that you're bigger. You're bigger than anything that we see. You're bigger than anything that we hear in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. I thank you. You hear and answer prayer. You're hearing the prayers of your saints. And I declare, raise up new people. Raise up those that will stand for righteousness and sit down those that will not stand for righteousness in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God. You're already working. You're already working on our behalf. You're already working behind the scenes. It's just a smoke screen. I just bind a smoke screen in Jesus' name. And we believe the truth. We believe you're at work, God. And it's going to show. It's going to prevail. We're going to see the answers. You've already shown us so many answers as we have stood in the last couple of years. And God, we believe it's turning more. It's turning in our favor. It's turning in the favor of your word. It's turning in the favor of your will. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the word of God said, first of all, how many remember? First of all, whether you like them or not, first of all, we're to pray for the leadership of our nation. Amen. First of all, Robert, come, and not long prayers, but I mean, we're going right to the root of this thing. Lead us in prayer for the president, vice president of our country. Being a pastor, I know what you face in leadership. I cannot imagine the pressure, the force, the whatever is coming. But thank God in the midst of it all, we're on top.
Amen. Father, we just lift up our President Donald Trump, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you have given to us, Father, to go through him, to flow through him, that you give him the ability to know exactly what he needs to know, Father. I thank you, Lord, you give him discerning of spirits. You give him discerning of seasons and discerning of times and discerning of hearts, Father, that he has the right words to speak like apples of gold and settings of silver. He has an apt answer for every question, Father. I thank you, Lord, you guide him, you direct him, Father. Your will being done, even his body language, Father, even the things that he writes and the things that he tweets and the things he puts on social media, Father, let it be a laser right into the hearts of the people. Let it be able to be received by those who are flowing in the Spirit, and let it not be able to be discerned by those who do not listen to the Spirit. Let it be a secret code into the hearts of the people that are walking in righteousness, holiness, justice, and purity. Father, I speak that over his presidency. It is a righteous presidency. It is a holy presidency. It is a just presidency. It is a pure presidency. So we lift up our president and we pray a protective hedge over him right now. Help me pray in the Holy Ghost over our president this evening. Soya Maraya Katoro Dokosi. Oria na 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 na. We don't know the things to pray, but the Holy Ghost does. And we're agreeing with the Holy Ghost. We're speaking the word of God. Soria Baraya. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom for his media crew, Father. We pray for those who are videotaping him and filming him. We're praying for them, protective hedges around the whole information system of this nation. So a righteous system. Help me pray in the Holy Ghost over our president. Now pray for those who he's going to lift up before him, the ones that he's going to advertising for these new positions, Father, and we ask that you protect them too, Father. Those that are going to be running for governors and senators, and they're running for office in these elections coming up, Father. He's going to promote. He's going to lift up in name, in action, in deed. That you just help them to go through the same way he does, with a righteousness and a holiness and a justice and a purity in everything that they do, that they will be transparent, righteously transparent, Father, that there'll be no way that anybody could come against them because they are so clean. They are so clean. There's purity in them. There's righteousness in them. And then there's holiness in them. And we speak it into being right now that the men that he's going to choose to lift up are righteous, holy, just, and pure also. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Now, the scripture that I referred to, and I want to be sure you understand where I'm coming from, is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and of course we have a president, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Good and acceptable. Amen and amen. So that's the basis. Every day I pray three things over our president, vice president, and others that I pray for especially. But I pray God, first of all, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ. You know, Solomon cried for wisdom. Number two, security. The greatest security in the world is angel security. Amen. And thirdly, divine health and strength and stamina to withstand the pressures there. Now, I want us to release our faith also in this room tonight. You know, we've reached out in every way that's possible. We swing the bat from the left, we swing it from the right. But we're in a time we've got to trim our sails. We've got to trim our sails for a while. And we're calling in finances. We're calling in finances. It's time when we're trimming our sails. I don't like to have to think in that direction, but then that's reality too. Amen. And we're doing the best we know how to do. So with that in mind, I want us just to, in the name of Jesus, help us. We've had a shortfall on tithes and offerings for a little while here, and we've got to make the, and we already are in the process of making adjustments for that. Praise God. Dr. Stumble, would you come and just call in finances now? We're doing the best we know how to do, and you get a lot of bang for the buck in this church, and thank God we're still going forward full steam ahead, but we're just doing it wisely and trying to be good stewards of what God's given us.
Shila waha kara bayom ko ye hikasada bayom tila bahai. Ibi waha kara bayom ko ye laha katada bayom. Lord Father, we lift up the finances of this church in the name of Jesus. And we call in those funds that have been laid up for us, Father. Hallelujah. Foho kosomye, that have been promised through the through the word of God, Lord. Hallelujah. Who have been prophesied, Lord, over the last few weeks, months, and even several years, Lord, to come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we command that this world system lose it and let it go in the name of Jesus. You've held on to it long enough in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, it's God's money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord. All of it belongs to him, Lord. And those individuals who are clinging on to it and won't let it go to the kingdom of God for the work that the Lord needs to do has to let it go in the name of Jesus. We call it in the name of Jesus. Oh, kosomye hitarabayom koroye. We call in, Lord. Hallelujah. From the north, the south, the east, the west, from every funds, Lord. Yea, Lord. We call in through the tithes and offerings, Lord. We call in, Lord, special gifts being given, Lord. Whether it be grants, Lord, whether it be offerings, Lord, that come in from unexpected sources, whatever they be, Lord, we'll use it. Even the money the devil's been using, Lord, we'll sanctify and use whatever comes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It cannot be held back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Ohokosomye. Oh, there's no way, Lord, hallelujah, that that's going to be stopped from coming in the name of Jesus. Wisdom now, Lord, hallelujah, to operate in financial honesty, Lord, and the things that we need to do in the meantime, Lord. But we ask, Lord, that you bless our people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Going to be some millionaires raised up in this house in the name of Jesus. Ho, ho, kosomye, hitarabayom. And those that will say, let it be me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the finances coming in the name of Jesus. There's nothing that can stop it in the name of Jesus. It has to come. It's been prophesied. Hallelujah. Oh, of course, it's been promised, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And in the name, we command it. We demand that it come in and the world system let it go in the name of Jesus. Oh, over and abundantly, Lord, above and beyond, Lord, exceedingly abundantly above that which we've been thinking about and asking for in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, now, hallelujah, for blessing our people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the finances of the people of this house, oh, who have been faithful, Lord, over these years, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Return to them, Lord. Hallelujah. The offerings that they have given in the name of Jesus, multiplied abundantly in the name of Jesus. Oh, so I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For all that you're doing for us, Lord. Oh, and we thank you for the outcome of it in the name of Jesus. It's going to be glorious. And we thank you for it. We see it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, God, everybody, we receive it. It's ours. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. It is, it shall be, and it's going to be in the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Word of God says over in Isaiah 45, we're not going to hold you much longer, but I think we're making some real progress here tonight. Isaiah 45, 11, it said, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the Maker, ask me of things to come, and concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands command you me." In other words, concerning things or people, ask me, and if it's any of your business, I'll tell you. But he said, concerning the work of my hands, he said, command you me. Amen. God wants us to take a firm, strong faith stand. And that's what we're doing in prayer tonight. We're not praying about, we're speaking to these things that we're believing God for. Praise be unto the Lord. Father, we thank you, and I'm in agreement with that prayer for church finances. We're in agreement with the prayer over the appointment for the Supreme Court. Father, just bring our nation back to sanity. Bring us back to sanity. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be unto God. Let's pray about church growth. Let's pray about, we're believing that God is bringing people in that are just happy to be here, and we're happy they are here. Amen. This is a safe harbor. It's a Bible church. It's a church that has a great track record over the many, many years. Father, we call in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call in people to this house. Those that need a good church home. Those that need a safe church home. Those that want to be in a church that is a church that is built on the Word of God and faith in God. A church that appreciates the grace and the mercy of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Father, we just ask you now, bring people in. Bring people in. Lord, there's so many people wandering around in greater Fort Worth and Dallas, just wandering around with no aim, no purpose. Father, bring them in and let them commit, because the pieces never fit until you commit. Bring them in. Bring them in for commitment, Lord. Bring them in for commitment in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. And we will see the goodness of our God. We will see the goodness of our God. I want you to pray with me concerning all of our staff. Father, we pray for our staff and their companions. We bless the church staff here. Lord, we have the best staff we've had, and I don't know when. And I just thank you for them, and I thank you for the unity and the harmony that is present in, I believe, the majority of all of our staff and their companions. Father, I just thank you that unity prevails. As they were in one place and one accord on the day of Pentecost, Father, I thank you now that in this church there is a one place and one accord, that we dwell in unity, that we dwell in unity, and we see the power and the grace and the goodness of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, I sure appreciate everybody listening to BPN today. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for being a part of Preaching Sunday. And now I'm extremely excited to introduce Pastor Bob Nichols from Fort Worth, Texas. Here's Pastor Bob Nichols.